Let's start singing number 9. Let's open our Bibles in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Where we're going to read here a very peculiar portion of the Word of God. We're going to find mainly two men. Start on verse 26. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and joy thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he had was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto the certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. And what doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 38. And he commanded that chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. What we see here is this man, Philip, one of those that were chosen to take care of the widows and the money, about food, together with Stephen. And that happened just after Stephen was stoned to death. And a great tribulation came, and they had to scatter, to spread. And there went Philip, and he was found in Samaria. There he preached the gospel. Many, many people were saved through that gospel. They believed on him. They received the word of God there. But God had something else for this man, Philip. An angel, we read in verse 26, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Some of you think, why to go to the desert? So many people, we see blessings here in Samaria. There's a lot of people listening to the word. Even the apostles staying in Jerusalem, they heard about and they came down. And many were baptized, received the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Why should I leave this place here and go to the desert? Could be a question that would go in many, many hearts in our days, especially these days that men are busy trying to gain more number to their group than anything else. But here was that man, Philip. This man heard the Lord saying, Arise and go, and he did it. He didn't question, he didn't think about what was going to happen. Go to the desert. He went. And down he went there, and we see verse 27, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. What was interesting that we have here, Philip and this man, a eunuch. He was returning from Jerusalem, where he went to worship. And he came back from Jerusalem. Did he come back happy because he went to worship there? First of all, he was a proselyte. That means he was a Gentile that converted to Judaism. That's why he went to Jerusalem, where it was supposed to be the place of worshiping. Was supposed to be, because this time wasn't anymore. The real sacrifice and worship, the object of worshiping, wasn't there anymore, was rejected. The Lord Jesus was crucified. The Jews rejecting him and said, Away with this man, we don't want him here. Crucify him. soon after that, they sent to heaven another one saying, not even this man we want here. And there goes Stephen to heaven too. Proving that man never, never want God. Never. Nobody is wanting to know God, is looking for God, has a need for God. No, we all fell. We came short from the glory of God because we have sinned. Man is a sinner. It's not something that he gets when he does his first sin, commit his first sin. It's a total illusion. We are born sinners. All of us. From the worst creature in this world to the most worshipped good creature in this world, they are all sinners. But came to this world one man that wasn't a sinner. Couldn't be and never had anything to do with sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. This man, the Lord Jesus, was rejected in Jerusalem. And there comes this eunuch. He goes there to worship, and he can't get peace there. He comes back and bless the thing. He brings one thing from Jerusalem that makes the whole difference. All difference. He has the scriptures. There he goes, sitting in that chariot and reading the scriptures. Isaiah the prophet. Was he understanding what he was reading? No. He couldn't understand that. And you know how he was reading that? He wasn't just there sitting reading like we see many, many times in the bus or in the train or in the airplane. People quiet reading. Sometimes we want to peek, see what they are so quiet reading. No. This man, he was reading aloud. He was reading like I read here now. He was reading not for himself, but to hear himself, he was doing that. Why do I say that? Because when the angel says to Philip, go, he goes. But something different happened when he gets there. Verse 28. 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and joy thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him. Interesting. Heard him. He wasn't only silent reading. He was reading aloud. And he heard him reading. Heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Here is not an angel that moved Philip to ask that. It's different. Here is the Spirit. The angels are not in this kind of charge to bring the gospel. If someone here is expecting an angel coming from heaven to bring the gospel, will be waiting because it's not their job. But the Spirit of God is the one that can bring, is able to bring the gospel. It's very interesting that when I got saved, I was still studying. I was in a medical school in the second year of my medicine school. And when you get saved, it's something that only who got there knows the experience. You want to tell about what happened. You want to tell everybody. Because you think there's something that nobody ever heard. How can it be possible that someone that heard this didn't believe? Well, for me, it took 20 years to hear the gospel and believe in the gospel. But when I heard the gospel and I got saved, I got there and I was so happy, rejoicing. I was trying to say what I learned from the Word of God. And many, many came to the question. This is a very common question. What about, if you're saying to me that only the Lord Jesus can save, and it is through the Word of God, what about the Indian in the middle of the Amazon forest? What about him? How he can get saved if nobody goes there? And that was the question that was always puzzling me. I didn't know how to answer that. I was just saved. And one day, reading this passage here, I said, that's it. If there is a heart, the Lord will send someone. The angel will say, arise. And he will go. Getting there, the Spirit will say, get close to that man. And that will happen. But the main point that I said to my friends in the school is, you don't have to be worried about Indians in the forest, because the gospel is brought now, has been brought now in front of you, and you are not in the middle of the jungle. It's your responsibility now. That's it. I can't think about other people's salvation. I can't be worried about if someone else is going to be saved. I have to take care of my own salvation. Each one here has to have one day in his life, he's going to meet the Lord Jesus. It's not a point of in bringing questions like that turn the gospel without effect for me. That's what they try to do. That's what Satan tries to do, in fact. When they come with the question, what about the India? It's not the India they're worried about. Is that they want to say, well, that's not true what you're saying. I'm not going to believe that. But be sure, the Lord will bring someone. Why are you sitting here tonight? I want to ask you, why are you sitting here tonight? Los Angeles is a big city with a lot of things to do. A lot of things, entertainment. This is the counter of entertainment. See, yeah, everybody has something to do else than be sitting here. Why are you here? I'm sure the Lord brought you here. Open your ears. Listen to the gospel. Because I'm not here preaching my own ideas. I'm not here paid to preach a gospel to increase the number of members of a group. What I have here in front of me, and each one of you should have, is the Word of God, like this eunuch. One peculiar thing about this man, this eunuch, is that he is a eunuch. I know most of you know what it means to be a eunuch, but I will try to explain what it means. In the old times, in the court, the king always was in a battle, fighting far from home. Sometimes he would stay years out of his court. And someone had to take care of the woman in the court. So they had some servants or some slaves that were prepared to take care of them. And the preparation is they were totally infertile. They couldn't reproduce. Never the blood of a Gentile would mix with the court, the kingdom. Wouldn't be any way that would happen. He was totally different. Since he was born, they would prepare him for that, do a kind of a surgery, and he wouldn't procreate at all. What a figure of, what a picture of a man. Do you think you can produce something for God? Do you think that being a good boy or being a good citizen, paying all your taxes, respecting all the law, everything you can do possibly good, the son you're going to have is going to be a good son? Saved you? No way. He's going to be a sinner the same way. You can't produce, you can't procreate children for God, children for God. You can't. I don't have the power to generate life. Nobody has. Only one, God. And here there is a man in totally troubled with his questions. What this that I'm reading means? I'm not happy with the worship in Jerusalem. Religion couldn't save me. He was rich. He was faithful. You know, for a servant to be in charge of all the money of that queen, he must be a pretty honest man. And he was. So he had money. He had a religion. And he was uncomfortable reading the Word of God. Totally uncomfortable. What it means? He didn't know what it means. He was reading, but he couldn't understand. God saw that man there in the middle of the desert, going down his chariot, reading the Word of God. And there goes Philip by his side. What a picture. Him sitting, reading out loud the Word of God. Everybody around him, I'm sure there was more. He didn't travel alone. At least someone was driving his chariot or taking care of that, because we see in verse 38 that he said, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. He probably said to the one that was driving, hold here. I want to get out here. I want to get down and get in the water. But he was there reading, and a man running by his side. That was Philip. And Philip hears him and says, understandest thou what thou readest? And what was the answer? How can I, except some man should guide me? How can I understand the word of God if someone doesn't teach me what he's talking about? Still, a man depending on another man to trust the Word of God. I'm sure the Lord will bring always someone close to you when you are in a want of knowing the truth. But you can't depend on a man. And what happened here is he invited Philip to come and sit by his side. Very good invitation. Very good step he took. That man sitting by his side was able to teach him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He was reading. I don't think it was just a chance or that happened by a random situation. He was reading that. The Lord was directing him to read exactly this portion. And when he read that, he answered, who he's talking about? About himself or another man? Or some other man? Today, we are in a world where if you turn on the radio, you hear the gospel. Especially in this nation here. This is good in a certain point. But after hearing and hearing and hearing all the time and not paying attention, it starts being an old thing. Oh, I heard that already. Let's change the radio station. And that's what happened. What we see today is a man preaching a lot of things in Christ. Or better saying, we see today preachers preaching Jesus and something else together. I read said one time, in this world, for every kind of mind, there is a religion in the world for him to follow. And if there is not, he will start his own. How can I know what is the truth? How can I know if the man that is preaching the gospel is preaching the true gospel? How can I know that? There's one single and easy way to know. Is he preaching the Lord Jesus Christ alone, or he's preaching his dues, his doings, he's preaching his religion, his group, what he's doing? Philip here, when he was asked about this, who he's talking about, he could say, well, you know, I was in Samaria, and there was a lot of miracles there. I was preaching the gospel there, and I did this and that, and there was a man who couldn't walk, and I made him walk, and he is walking now. There was a blind man there, and I gave him the vision, and he's seeing now. Oh, marvelous things. The Lord is doing great things. Who he preaching? Nobody yet. Only himself. That's what we see today. So, my friend, if you are hearing the gospel in another place, and what you see is miracles, power, but you don't see, you don't hear the Lord Jesus Christ being preached, you're probably hearing a defective gospel, I call it, or a partial gospel. Sometimes you're hearing a social gospel, a gospel that talks about everything, how to walk, how to be good in your marriage, how to take care of the kids, but Christ. Here is Philip, 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Oh, marvelous thing. One man preaching Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news of salvation to the world. On the same scriptures is another point. If he starts his preaching, his gospel, from other parts that is not the scripture, get out of there, he's not right. Have to be by the word of God only, and have to be about the Lord Jesus only. And Philip, start from the bottom line. What is that? He was led as sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. God called the people to be his people. From Abraham, he promised a nation so big that would cover the whole world. But what happened? They reject the Savior. Being so busy in doing their own religion, based on what God taught them, but they got that and transformed in another thing, in their own religion. So there were the Jews, still, I think, still bringing sacrifice there. When this poor eunuch got there, he saw sacrifices, how the priest is busy in the tabernacle there, in the temple. You know, he was busy there. They were all busy there with their religion. But why all that? The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, was already slain. The Lord Jesus is the one who God sent to us. There is no other Savior. For years and years, that nation was always, year after year, sacrificing animals, shedding blood of animals. But they had to repeat year after year because those sacrifices couldn't take away sin. And God knew that. But what God had in mind is what happened when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus come and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." There was the true sacrifice. Not my own sacrifice, not my works, my wisdom, money, nothing. Just the Lord Jesus could pay my debt, your debt, each one of you, shedding the blood of an innocent. God sent His only begotten Son, nobody else. The only Son came to this world, and was the only sacrifice. For what? To pay your sins, our sins. One day, I heard that gospel, and I said, "That's for me. That's for me." I accepted. God is love, God is justice, is righteous. And I accept the righteousness of God, giving His Son to die on the Calvary cross, shedding His blood, taking my place of judgment. But He didn't stay in that cross. The religion I came from was the Catholic Church. They still have the Lord Jesus. They want to keep Him hanging at the cross. They repeat Sunday after Sunday, the sacrifice of the Mass, what is a blasphemy, because they are sacrificing the Lord Jesus again. But no, He was once sacrificed for you. What you have to do? It's like if I was this eunuch reading again Isaiah. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Why? Because of my sins. I have a Redeemer. And everyone here sitting tonight, listening to this gospel, can be sure that have the same Redeemer. It's not another Redeemer that I'm promising. It's the same that saved me, saved millions and millions of people. It's the same Savior today. That's why it's the gospel, which means the good news. How can a good news be good news for 2,000 years? Did someone got the newspaper for last week to read today to see what happened last week? Who cares? It's last week. I'm not going to read the newspaper last week. I have to read the newspaper today, because I want to know the news. But the good news is that the Lord Jesus is still the same. He is your Redeemer. You have to trust Him. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior to be saved. There is no other way. There is no other way. Man tried to do his own justice, bring to God his own sacrifices. No way. He is going to live there unhappy like this eunuch. But when there is a desire like this eunuch, reading aloud the Word of God, and I pray that you, if you don't have yet, buy one. Get one Bible. Read it. You're not going to understand it? No problem. Keep reading. The Lord will show you. The Lord will show you. Do you have the desire to be saved? To be out of this condemnation that is coming very, very soon? Are you? You have this desire? Okay. The gospel is for you. The good news, the Lord Jesus died in our instead. So you can have assurance that He is your capable Savior. How can I say that the Lord Jesus is the Savior? Based on what can I say that He is able to save? I'll tell you why. The gospel that we preach, that the Bible shows us, is that we have a Savior that died on the Calvary cross. He was buried there, but death couldn't keep Him down there. He was risen. God said, I'm plenty satisfied with this sacrifice. He won the life for us. The Lord Jesus died in your place. And then He was risen. He's not there in His place there in the earth. No, He's not there anymore. He is in heaven. We have a Savior in heaven. A man in heaven. You know, when that day comes, when He will come to get His people and take out this world, we were all going to be with Him. All those that believe in the Lord Jesus will be there with Him. And there in heaven, we will see there is only one man that is going to be different than the others. The Lord Jesus is the only one that will have the marks of His sacrifice. His hands, His side, He will have there. We are not. You're going to be there for what? To worship Him forever. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus now as your Savior, you can be now a worshiper. Here, this man, eunuch, left his country, Ethiopia, went all the way to Jerusalem, probably about 1,000 miles. Can you imagine traveling in a chariot? Probably had to cross the ocean, the Mediterranean. And he was there. And he wasn't happy with the worship he went to do. But when Philip preached him the gospel, verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What do you hinder me to be baptized? I don't think that Philip invited him to be baptized. I think that came out of him, of the eunuch. He said, this is the Savior I want to be identified with. This is the man I want to be identified with. Thank you for bringing me the news, but now I know my Savior. And he was rejoicing. See, verse 39. And he went on his way rejoicing. I hope that tonight, everyone here will be living here rejoicing. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, if you didn't accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior yet, do it now. Now is the time to do it. Don't leave it for tomorrow or after tomorrow. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Nobody knows. So is something for you to take care of now. Like this eunuch, when he hears the gospel and he says, here we have water. I want to be baptized. I want to be identified with the Lord Jesus in his death. And that happened. What a blessed thing to have the Word of God. What a blessed thing to be able to hear the gospel. Is it still open the door? God opened a wide door for man. It's his Son, the Lord Jesus. He's still open. He's still inviting man. Come, I want to save you. I want to save you. You have to come. You have to believe in the Lord Jesus now. Because if you don't, if you reject the gospel, I don't know how long you can do that, but for sure, God won't be eternally preaching the gospel, giving the gospel. There will be one day that the door will be closed, like the ark. Do you think that Noah could open the door of the ark for someone outside that in past the last minute, he thought, oh, I was wrong. I should accept that. I should trust him. Oh, please open. I want to get in. No. That door of the ark was closed from outside. Noah had no access to that. And who was outside. And that's it. Today is the day of salvation. Your situation with God has to be treated today. You have to believe the Lord Jesus as your Savior today. Don't leave it for tomorrow. Don't leave for next week. Don't try to make your life better now. No, He's calling you the way you are, sinner. You can't stop being a sinner. So, you can't get better. But the Lord can change your whole life. Can give you life through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessed word. What a blessed story we have here registered in the Bible for our instruction. And my desire is to invite everyone here to receive the Lord Jesus as a Savior. I said that Jerusalem was supposed to be the place of worshiping, but after the Lord Jesus was crucified and rejected and crucified and then ascended on high to heaven, in Pentecost, he started a whole new thing in this world. This is the church. In that day, something new started in this world. A place not anymore physical place, but God was starting a place where man could go and worship Him in spirit and truth. We heard this afternoon, brother saying about that. That's the reason why God want to save man. The Lord Jesus came to save who was lost. The Father is searching for worshipers. So, if you hear the gospel and you believe the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Word of God assures you that you are a Christian. You are part of His body, the Lord Jesus. Let's read in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13, Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So, after hearing the gospel and believing the gospel of your salvation, not someone else's salvation, your own salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's marvelous. It's communicated to you the life that you never had before. The Holy Spirit abiding. Like saying, this is mine, nobody touches. You'll never lose it. You will always be a Christian, a son of God. And you are able to worship in spirit because you receive it, and in truth because He will show you the truth. The Spirit of God. What a blessed thing to have the Spirit of God abiding in us. And a solemn thing to be a worshiper. It's not a gift. It's not something that needs wisdom. Just as the brother said, bringing Christ to God, saying, my Savior. And I worship God. And each one here can worship God, based only in the Word of God and His truth. And I hope that there will be today, at this same time, this same minute, moment now, not only here in this room, but all over the world, where this gospel is preached, souls being taken for the Lord. And we will be all part of one marvelous thing, the Church of God here in this world. May the Lord bless His word and bring more to His family and to inherit with the Lord Jesus all that have promised for us. You are invited to be saved tonight. Don't reject it. Receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and He will give you life that is His own life, eternal life. Let's sing hymn 21. decide for Christ today, confess Him as thy Lord. Proclaim to all the Savior's worth how faithful is His word. Christ alone can save, break the power of sin. Christ that fully satisfies the heart that cleaves to Him.